It's nice to really feel alive. I can't bear the thought of an ordinary, boring, normal life.
Spencer Matthews, British media personality turned wellness advocate and founder of Clean Co. From reality TV fame to breaking a Guinness World Record with 30 marathons in 30 days, he's redefined success through sobriety and endurance.
How in God's name have you gone from reality TV to where you are today?
Sobriety has allowed me to think bigger. Breaking habits can be quite hard. There was a real haze on my life, kind of felt like driving a fast car with a handbrake on.
There's so much more capacity there once you get the fog out of your head from boozing.
It's not a question of, oh right, I used to be in the pub, so now I have to be in the gym. Like, it's not about that. It's about the ability to be better. I went from looking at people who do incredible things and be like, how boring. In reality, I was thinking, God, I wish I could do that.
Hi, Spencer. Right, I want to chat to you for a few minutes before we get started, because this is a big deal for me. I know it's not a big deal for you because you're used to being in front of cameras and running things like Marathon the Sab. I know you're very kind of quiet about that,
yeah,
which is unlike you. But like, how in God's name have you gone from reality TV,
yeah,
as in being effectively the main face of Made in Chelsea, is that correct?
I can't speak to that, but I was in the show for some time, yeah.
To where you are today. Like, what has brought you from there to running in the Arctic Circle?
For me, honestly, changing my relationship with alcohol and becoming teetotal has completely changed my life. It led to the creation of Clean Co, but also allowed me to discover kind of gears within myself that I never thought I had. You know, it's allowed me to have more audacious goals, really, both in my kind of personal life and in business, and also kind of live with less limitations, yeah. I suppose. So that, and by the way, the kind of clean message isn't that everyone should be teetotal. Mm-hmm. That's a personal choice that works for me. But yeah, I mean, if you compare my life when I used to...
What's our timeline here? I know that's what you're where you come
about. About 3 years. I haven't been teetotal for 3 years. Yeah. I've been teetotal kind of more recently for like the last kind of half year or so. Yeah. And then there was a long period of, you know, kind of...
discovering that.
Moderation and cutting back. And I just discovered that, you know, for me, full-strength alcohol doesn't really play a part in my life. And it's allowed me to, you know, in the last few months alone, I've done the Marathon Masab, now we're doing this. It's easier to have a real grasp for me of, you know, the things I want to achieve, essentially.
I mean, the first thing that comes to my head is, obviously I can relate to that, because growing up in Ireland, having a bad relationship with alcohol and going to, you know, it doesn't feature in my life much anymore. Has that led you to try and fill a gap with these audacious goals, or has that led you to realise that there's so much more capacity there once you get the fog out of your head from boozing and from, you know, from all of that lifestyle?
Definitely the second thing. Like, for me, it's not a question of, oh, right, I used to be in the pub, so now I have to be in the gym. Yeah. Like, it's not about that. Mm-hmm. It's about the ability to be different. And in my opinion, the ability to be better. Like, I'm never going to sit here and say, you know, if you moderate your alcohol, you'll be a better person. Because I'm sure it's going to be different for everyone. But for me, there was a real haze on my life, and I've said before that it kind of felt like driving a fast car with a handbrake on. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't quite be the person I wanted to be. And I would look at people who do stuff like the Marathon Masab and who do this, and I'd be like, that's really amazing, but that's not me, mm-hmm. right? And then when I started to even moderate my alcohol, I felt, you know, like I went from drinking pretty regularly, like with work, as you know, I was a city trader and then I worked in nightlife and then I was on TV and, you know, we were kind of always drinking. To even when I would drink like only on Fridays, huge difference like in my life.
It's just crazy. It's
like the amazing stuff that you can achieve when you just like do things a little differently, like little tweaks. Mm-hmm. And then I just realized that for me, you know, with a third kid on the way and plenty on my plate, you know, work-wise, and, you know, the desire to do stuff like this, there's really no room for booze in my life. And actually, you don't miss it.
This episode of Find Your Edge is brought to you by Hedgehogs vs. Foxes, a video production studio crafting bold cinematic content for brands in lifestyle, corporate, events, and more. Visit us at hvf.ie to learn more.
No, I agree. It's like there's a void that's created there. And I think this is something that I always hear with clients, right? I'm in the personal training business. So I'm talking to people all the time who want to change,
yeah.
But they can't. They think that they need to go from not boozing and addictive lifestyles, right? That's, you know, we know there's loads of different pieces to that. But they think they need to go straight from there to running a marathon this app or running an ice ultra. And it's an important message to get across that, like you said, even controlling that and taking small steps, as cheesy as it is, it's like, how do you get through 230 kilometers in this race? And it's like 1 kilometer at a time, 1 checkpoint at a time. Does that transfer across into how you've gone to that teetotal lifestyle from it's not just this quick transition. It's a step-by-step process, right?
Yeah. For me, it became, you know, I find that breaking habits can be quite hard. Right. Like, even if you get used to having a cigarette at the end of your day, you know, and you're one of those people that has a cigarette, you know, every evening, you probably don't need the nicotine. Right. You're just kind of used to lighting up a cigarette in the same way as people who enjoy a glass of wine, you know, most nights with their meals, probably don't need the alcohol. Right. They're not dependent on the alcohol.
It's not. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So all of this stuff around, you know, addiction and is obviously interesting. It's not where we head with the brand. We're just trying to say
there's another option.
There's other options, and there's choice now, right? When it comes to full strength alcohol,
and it's accepted.
If you love gin and tonic, and you want, you know, and you can have a clean gin and tonic, and your experience will be the same, right? Or very similar, minus the heavy effects and sometimes detrimental effects of full strength alcohol.
Yeah.
And again, you know, we're not saying don't drink alcohol because, you know, it's that would be preachy. We're just saying that, you know, full strength alcohol is, you know, replaceable. And if you want to choose to drink something else, now you can.
What challenges are you facing? Like with an event like this, there's obviously, you know, there's the challenge of being in the snow. But do you see a correlation with fitness and with exercise? And this is maybe not as relevant to you and your business, but for me, the challenges that I see are taking on an event, taking on an audacious goal, to use your words, a big, hairy, audacious goal like the Ice Ultra, you know, it presents challenges. Do you embrace challenges? How do you deal with challenges? And this is probably a broader question, not to do with, you know, life in that sense, but like goals, when we take them on, big goals, big scary goals, big audacious goals, present challenges. For me, it was a little niggle in my foot, realizing I didn't have the toilet paper packed. So all of these challenges, for you, you seem to be able to just brush them off and you laugh about them, or you sing a Justin Bieber song and it seems to be gone. Yeah. Where, how have you learned that? And how do you deal with these little challenges that come up in your life?
I come from a family that kind of have always, you know, at least aspired to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're quite a head down, get on with it kind of approach. I feel like my mental resilience is pretty strong. You know, like if we've come the whole way out here and we've got 230K to do and it gets tough, like, of course it's going to get tough. But like at that point, do you pack up and leave and come back next year and give it another go? Or do you just grit through and give it a go? Yeah. So I think, you or me don't know what we're about to face. You know, the weather can take turns. You know, it could be really pleasant. You know, it's unlikely to be really pleasant, but it could be, right? So I find that dealing with unforeseen circumstances before being in it to sometimes be, I was about to say a waste of time. It's not a waste of time to be prepared, right? But I don't know what temperature is going to be tonight. So as long as I'll just take some warm stuff.
And just hope for the best.
Yeah. And hope for the best. So for me, it's kind of, you know, I guess I've never been the most kind of emotional person. I guess I've almost suppressed, you know, feelings from time to time with a just go and get it attitude.
Yeah.
And you know, some might think that that's put on, but it's just the reality for me. Like I would not give up unless I broke my leg.
Yeah. So I can relate to that piece, right? And I can relate to the suppressing the emotions piece. My experience, so I've worked with the Irish Ultra Marathon team, I've worked with a lot of Marathon de Sable athletes, I've worked with it, and there's a breaking point that we all meet, right? Mm. And I was at an event before where a guy sat down on day two and just cried his eyes out. Not about the race.
Yeah.
About the fact that he was engaged to someone he didn't want to marry. And it all just comes out, right?
Yeah.
And even the other night I ran and I had this moment where I was running and there was a car behind me to keep me lit up at night, and brought me back to my childhood. My uncle, who's going through cancer at the moment, yeah, dealing with it. And he used to run behind, he used to drive behind us at night so we could see where we were going on roads.
Yeah.
And that brought up that emotion.
Yeah. I think these feelings, these particular events can be quite cathartic, yeah, right? Like I found myself praying to God. And I'm not religious, you know. I feel I only really ever talk to God when I really need something.
Yeah. There you go.
I was just asking him to give me strength, right? And I was talking to my brother who passed away because I was alone in this really long stage. And, you know, if my headlight had gone out for whatever reason, or I packed the batteries had died, I would have been
like,
yeah, just it would have been awful. Mm-hmm. So I was praying to him to keep my headlight lamp mm-hmm. on. And you know, and I think it's nice to really feel alive, right? That's yeah. my hook into this life. Kind of stuff. Yeah. So I can't bear the thought of an ordinary, boring, normal life.
There you go.
I have to live my life fully, right? Mm. But I can only do that with my new kind of relationship with alcohol. My previous relationship with alcohol did not allow me to live my life properly. Yeah. And that's, you know, something I kind of regret that I didn't do it earlier, mm-hmm. but, you know, I feel free now.
You have to learn that sometimes.
Yeah, but now I feel the ability, like, you know, and I'm not saying we're special or we're better, but, you know, this 230K through the Arctic isn't fazing me. I'm excited, you know, like you are. You just came in here bouncing around, like, we can't wait, right? And most people just go, I can't bother to do that. Yeah. And that's fine. People need to just be happy. But for me, you know, sobriety has allowed me to think bigger, mm-hmm. to want to achieve more and to want to live my life more and yeah. better. Yeah. And that for me is I get a kick out of it.
And that's success in my view. So I, you know, you said you feel alive when you do these events, and you need to kind of find the edge or challenge yourself to really feel that and get to that. And like the argument for me, so I've had a toxic relationship with alcohol when I was 19. I was writing cars off drink driving, and I've had my fair share of overindulging. And when I look back and reflect on that time in my life, I was trying to find the edge. I was trying to feel alive. I was trying to find that euphoric hit yeah. of literally not being able to sit still, walking into a room with someone else. And I like you, for a long time, I'm a little bit older than you. And a couple of years ago, I remember living, thinking that way, going, I fucking regret that I did all that. I regret that I pushed myself to that level, and I regret that I hurt people, and I regret that I did it. But it's truly in that regret, there's also the piece of going, well, I would not appreciate where I am right now.
Mm. So what makes you grow? Yeah.
And that's it. And that's a big message to take from all this, that it's only at the edge that you find how to grow. If you're hanging out in the middle piece, and that's my biggest fear in life.
Yeah.
So yours, you know, you need to experience and live it. But my fear is that I am that person who just, and there's nothing wrong with that. But this is for me, it's that I don't get to find the edges of what my physical and mental capacity is.
Yeah. Well, and that's like, you know, when, not to be boring, but when I gave up drinking, I went from looking at people who do incredible things differently, right? So I would see them before and be like, how boring, right? But like in reality, I was thinking, God, I wish I could do that, you know? And like I would mask it with just like, well, he must spend his life running in cold conditions to be able to do that, and I find a negative spin on it. Whereas actually a positive mindset and you know, a clean lifestyle is all I need.
Can I ask you another question? I'm conscious you've got another appointment, as you do. And it's funny, I need things written in front of me. I'm one of those people, I need to like write it on my face or on my hand, so I'll probably get the message in. But something in my life that I've had to always deal with was imposter syndrome, where I'm learning, you know, do I belong in this position? I come from a family that's quite different to yours in a sense, yeah. and there's nothing right yeah. or wrong with that. But whereas like, you know, stay-at-home mom, I got hand-me-down clothes. I set up my own business, but always had this level of going, I don't really belong here. And I'd speak to somebody who was successful in business or who had money in their bank account, and I wouldn't be able to relate to that.
Yeah.
And exercise and events and sports and fitness. I ran a marathon recently. We were sitting in the lead pack across the burn, and I remember having this moment going, I don't belong here. These guys are all fit. I'm not. This conversation started going in my head, and yeah. I had to rewrite that story, and I have it written on my water bottle, you belong here, because when I'm sitting in front of you and all the other guys out in the race, I'm going to go, that same conversation is going to come back up again. Yeah. Is that something that you've ever even experienced in your life, or you just constantly have this, like, I've known you for a while, basically you've seen your profile, I've seen all that stuff in the past, but like, from what I've known of you, you've got a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
You ooze confidence. Has that always been there?
The confidence kind of always been there, but I've never been unrealistic with kind of where I belong, I guess. Like, I was in the, as an example, I was in the Colts A's rugby at school and I didn't really belong there. Like, I hadn't played that much rugby and like, I was, you know, I remember every day whenever we'd train or whenever we were playing, I would think like, I shouldn't be in this team, basically. So yeah, I think, you know, I've experienced it in business as well. You know, we work with a lot of, you know, industry leading pros. More recently now, I feel like I can play, you know, a really substantial role, you know, in business in general. And I think my opinions are good and clear.
Yeah,
and clean.
I heard you talking. I know you have a good vision.
But that comes with time and experience. You know, there was a time where I would be like, well, you know best. You know, let's do what you think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's been a kind of constant in my life that I've often assumed that people know best, and often they probably do.
Yeah.
But I think taking ownership of you and your life, you know, and your ability, like you're going to smash this race, I can tell. So like, and it's fine. I think, you know, there's only what, 33 people doing it? So even if we finish, we've got a great result.
Yeah, well, there you go. We still need a top 10% though, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. And thank you for your time.
Cheers, brother.
I'm sorry that you're probably going to be late for Vogue now. You know, she's the most important thing. So I'm going to leave you on that note.
Thank you, brother. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, mate.